Hello and welcome to Matt D'Elia is Confused. This is Matt D'Elia, and this week's guest is actually my first ever repeat guest. He is also just my first ever guest. Joe Walsh is back on the show. Joe, for those who don't know, well, first of all, you should know. Second of all, if you don't know, he's a former Tea Party Republican congressman, and he is currently running against Donald Trump for the nomination in the 2020 election, the Republican nomination. He's trying to primary Donald Trump and not having an easy time. He knew he was not going to have an easy time. He obviously knew he wasn't going to win, but he thought it was important anyway. We talk about that. We talk about a lot of shit, not just Trump. We talk about what the fuck is going on in this country, just in general. I think this was even better than our first conversation, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. Without any further delay, here is my second conversation with Republican challenger to Donald Trump for the nomination in 2020. Joe Walsh. Okay. All good. Okay, Joe, how you been, man?
I'm good. I'm in Iowa slugging away trying to meet as many voters as I can. What an experience.
Yeah, I mean, I want to ask you about that because last time we talked, you hadn't announced yet. And I was excited when you did announce. I've been following just as I was before. But I'm curious to ask the actual man who is experiencing it, how is the experience going?
Toughest thing I ever did, Matt, without a doubt. And you and I talked about this a little bit. I think the last time we talked, I think Trump's unfit. I think he's a danger to the country. I thought it was really important that there was a Republican out there every day saying it. And that's why I got into this, because nobody else did. I knew getting in, it was a long shot.
Right.
It's been made even more difficult because of Trump and the party. I mean, I know you probably know this. They've literally canceled the primaries in 10 states.
Yeah.
So that's like taking 10 states off the table like that. That's never happened before. So we've been up against a bunch of un-American bullshit like that.
What's the deal with the, I did see that, but what is their rationale? Like, what are they saying is the rationale behind that?
They're saying that they're, and again, Matt, just understand, this has never happened before.
Right.
Sometimes primaries have been canceled when there's no opposition.
Right.
But you've got me and you've got a former governor, Republican governor, running against Trump. So what they're saying is they're doing it to save money, which is bull, because they're still having a primary, just not this race. And then they're saying it because we're not credible candidates, even though we're on the ballot in, I'm on the ballot in 30 to 35 states. Look, it's not complicated at all. The Republican Party is not a party. It is a cult. And they do exactly what Trump tells them to do. And that's what these state party bosses are doing. Trump told them, cancel primaries. And that's what they're doing.
God, that is so true. It happened quick. Like, this is, we're talking 3 years since Obama. And this sort of rapid morph of the Republican Party, which does, at this point, really does mirror a cult. I mean, it's the most tired thing, but he said it himself when he was running. He could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and his voters would still vote for him. That's just been borne out to be absolutely true. But like, what you're out there and you're seeing it, and I know you're probably running into it a bit. Like, what does it look like? Like, I know what happens in the headlines. I see it on the news, but like, what is it like running up against it on the ground now, as you are doing? You must be encountering that a lot face to face, you know?
Yeah, every day, Matt. And look, in general, a lot of Republican voters, because that's most of who I'm talking to, even though they like some of the things Trump's done, they're freaking exhausted of Trump.
Yeah.
A lot of them are. And a lot of those people will still vote for him if they don't have another alternative. But there are some people, Matt, that I just can't reach, and I bounce into them every day.
Right.
I mean, part of, you know, his 35%, he can do no wrong with them. And you got it right. Trump knows what it is. And look, all cults are led by demagogues who lie to them. I mean, Donald Trump lies almost every time he opens his mouth.
Yeah.
And many of his followers, Matt, know it. They don't care.
Yeah.
So it's difficult, but you know, a lot of people have left the Republican Party because of Trump, and we're trying to pull them back in.
Well, that's kind of where the next thing I wanted to ask about. I mean, the people that are going to vote for him are going to vote for him, and the people that aren't are going to vote for, I'm assuming, just kind of whoever wins the Democratic nomination. But like, what, who out there is still left? You know, like, I feel like it's 3 years now. Is there anyone, are there people out there who are actually still oscillating between one side and the other? Because I feel like what another thing Trump has done is that he's entrenched both sides so deeply that, you know, unless you're not going to ever be talking to the other side under any circumstance. And it's just like, it's just so deeply pitted, you know? So what is even, is there any budging happening anywhere, even in the middle? Is there a gray area that I'm not seeing? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you're onto it. I think when we get to the general election, if it's Trump against somebody, I think there are very few undecided people. The country was divided before Trump. That's why we got Trump.
Right.
He's like the ugly product of the divide. But make no mistake, he's divided it even further. There will be a lot of people, if it is Trump against any Democrat, Matt, there'll be a lot of people who won't like either choice.
Yeah.
But I think, look, so many people didn't think Trump was going to win in 16. A lot of Democrats stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's Bernie or Biden, whoever it is. I don't think Democrats are going to make that mistake again. I just can't imagine they will.
Yeah, I think last time we talked, we spoke before the first Democratic debate. And I at that time, I was thinking Biden's probably the best bet. But in the debates, as we've all seen, he looks the way he looks. He looks old. He looks like he's not really there. And the idea of him debating Trump is a fucking scary one. But
what do you think? Matt, yeah. Don't be scared about that. Yeah. Here's the deal. You know, Trump can't debate.
Yeah.
Trump can't put two words together. Again, do debates matter? I don't know.
Hillary
ran circles around him.
Yeah, true.
Here's the one thing Biden's got going for him is he's a decent man.
Yeah.
I speak this way when I'm talking to Republicans because, look, I've been a very outspoken, you and I talked about it. I've been very outspoken for 10 years. I've been in the battles.
Yeah.
I've said a bunch of shit that I regretted. And I'm like a reformed outlaw in many ways.
Right.
But I think like decency, I think decency is going to win this year. I think even if Biden seems too fragile or too old, he's a decent guy. I just think we're so effing tired of having a horrible human being in the White House. I don't think it matters who the Democrat is.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. I mean, the exhaustion is pretty high across the board.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like that is it. I feel like the one thing everyone can agree on, even if, you know, because it's getting a little tense between the Democratic candidates at this point, now that it's really coming close to Iowa, there's kind of the neck and neck thing. Even Liz and Bernie are kind of going head to head about it. But the one thing I think everyone underneath everything is just, this is fucking exhausting. It's exhausting to deal with
this
shit.
It's the Donald Trump show every day. And most Americans, Matt, don't want four more years of the Donald Trump show. They just don't.
It's crazy. I mean, any day, it doesn't matter what else is happening in the world. The headline on every major news site is about him. It's as if the rest of the world isn't going on, you know?
Well, Matt, he wants it that way.
Yeah, he does.
And this is what I tell Republicans. Like, if you care about immigration or healthcare or our country's infrastructure is falling apart, nothing's going to happen for another 4 years because Trump every day wakes up and he makes it about himself every day. He's the most narcissistic human being I've ever encountered.
Yeah. What's, I mean, you have to be able to have there, you must have, because you've been there, you must have some insight into what is, I mean, now with the impeachment trial going on, everybody's trying to block witnesses. Like, what the fuck is the, why can't, look, if they think he's innocent and it's going to be a show trial anyway, they're going to let him off. Why don't they just, what's the big fear? Is it as, because to me, when I look at it, just objectively, if I didn't know anything about it and there was some side saying, we don't want any witnesses to talk about anything, I would think, oh, they're guilty as shit. You know what I mean? That's the guilty side, the end, you know? And it seems to put forth a narrative that they're trying to suppress, but that alone screams of guilt. And I don't, and it also would appear, at least this at this point, anything can change. But it seems like, there's sort of the in the Senate, the Republicans are sort of like a wall, and they're actually probably going to succeed at blocking witnesses. And
they will.
Yeah, so
they will, and they'll succeed, Matt, in just putting forth a sham trial, and they'll succeed. But I think it'll kick him in the ass come November, because the polling is clear on the fact that most Americans want a fair trial. Hell, most Americans know Trump did something wrong. Many, almost 50% believe he did something illegal. Yeah. He committed a crime. It's McConnell is like Trump in that they're scared to death of losing their voters. So all they talk to is their hardcore 35% of the vote. And that's what they're going to do. And they'll get them riled up. But by doing this, Matt, they're going to lose most of the country, and they deserve to be spanked in November.
Yeah,
and I say that as a Republican,
right?
They
deserve.
Republicans will deserve to be spanked.
Why? I mean, I have to believe there are more on the interior. There are more Republicans like you than you would think by gauging, but just going online or whatever the fuck, turning on the news.
Yeah.
Why aren't, I mean, I know the simple reason, but I can't help but think that there is a path to doing that. I mean, you're doing it, and I know it's like a massive uphill climb, but you're out there and you're doing it. Why are you the only one fucking doing that, you know?
Well, Matt, I'm doing it, but I'm getting my butt kicked every day. And realistically, when I'm done with this, if I can't beat him, I'm probably done in the Republican Party if forever, for a long time. Mm-hmm. So they look at me and they think, I don't want to go through what Joe Walsh is going through.
Right.
Because here's the deal. Here's the bet they've made. And I talk to these guys privately in the House and the Senate. And the things that I say about Trump publicly, most of them believe privately.
Right.
They're afraid of angering Trump's voters. They don't like Trump, and they're not afraid of Trump. They're afraid of losing Trump's voters. Mm. They think, Matt, that Trump's going to lose in November. And a lot of these Republicans want him to lose because they want – he's like a storm. They want to just go away. So they've made a bet that Trump's going to lose in November, and then he'll be gone, and the good old Republican Party can come back. Now, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Because even when Trump loses, Matt, he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
He's going to still make a bunch of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I saw you on Mar last weekend, and that specifically came up. And I think that's a big sort of anxiety that people have, even if he loses, or possibly especially if he loses. There's just going to be something that we all know is going to be deeply fucked up. We don't know what it is. I mean, some people will tell you he's not going to leave, right? But
yeah,
I don't.
Mar was kind of insinuating that, and I don't think we'd let that happen.
Right? Yeah. Just militarily, that's just not possible. Almost not possible.
Yeah.
But there's other things that he can do that will really be. I mean, you know, there's the whole, when everybody thought he was going to lose in 2016, they were thinking it was just going to an avenue towards starting Trump TV or whatever the fuck it was. But
and
I
he'll
mean,
do it.
Yeah,
he'll grab Sean Hannity,
right?
And they'll start their own whatever, and he'll grab all of his followers, and he'll try to screw up the Republican Party. He'll try to do whatever he can do. And to me, Matt, that's a big part of why I did what I did, because I think knowing that, I think it's important right now for Republicans to stand up against what Trump is.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to look at these career Republicans who have their whole life, basically, at least the temperament and the style of politics, the kind of person that he is, it's been a kind of person that they try to stay away from. And yet now there's this glomming onto him as if he's the end all be all. And you're saying, which does make sense, that they don't like him, but are just, you know, they've hitched their ride to him, right? And so they have no choice now but to stay with him or seem like they're supporting him until he's actually gone. But here's the thing to me, isn't that also kind of a career suicide? Because to me, once he's out and there are these sort of Rubio-style career politicians that supported Trump, and everyone, once Trump's gone, there's a vacuum, and everyone, the narrative is going to be, fucking finally, that guy's gone. And all these people are going to have to say, well, they're going to have to answer for all the times they fucking defended him or supported him or whatever. And I don't know why they don't have at least some foresight to think, well, I'm going to be fucked when that happens. Are they just going down with the sinking ship and they don't get, like, I know you're not like that. You're the opposite. But what, it seems so clear that one day they're going to be fucked for this, you know?
And Matt, that's a great point, man. And this is the one answer I don't have.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't see that. I think every Republican right now has to be on the record on where you are with Trump.
Yeah.
And where you are right now, we're not going to forget. And for the life of me, I don't know why guys like Rubio and Cruz and Nikki Haley don't see that. Because I think the Republican Party is screwed for a while, a long time. And again, Trump's not going, even though Trump's going to lose.
Yeah.
I still think you're going to see guys like Rubio and Haley and Cruz kind of pay homage to him because they don't want to lose all of his followers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's almost going to be, he's still going to be the king figure of the movement, regardless of who carries the baton. What's going to be fucking really depressing is when whoever is coming after Trump, like whoever is the actual nominee in a presidential race after him or the primaries, it's going to be very depressing to watch all of them sort of scramble to take that style and vibe and carry it and push it forward. You know, I mean, we saw it a little bit in 2016 when everyone kind of realized the Trump thing was working, and then Rubio and Cruz acted like they could do that shit too. And that was extremely depressing and sad and just weird, you know? And it was, the writing was on the wall. Okay. This is, Trump's just going to win now because everyone's sort of following his lead. But it, once he can't be in the mix, what is even, I mean, you're kind of the point, what you're talking about is making me think, like, what is a future Republican presidential candidate even possibly? How can that even look? Do you know what I mean?
Well, like, and Matt, just throw this on top of everything you're saying. If Trump loses in November, he could run again for president in 2024.
I know.
I mean, I just put that out there, man. I just put that out there. Unless he's in jail, I mean, who knows what the hell he'll do?
Yeah. I mean, that's a terrifying thought. How
the
old?
The only thing we know about Donald Trump, the only thing we know is all he gives a damn about is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So if he has to blow up the Republican Party permanently, he doesn't care. He doesn't care.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't even a Republican. Like, he wasn't a Republican until he just realized he could be. And the opening was there for him on that side. Yeah.
He's about promoting Donald Trump. That's what he's been his whole damn life.
Yeah. Well, with Iowa coming up on the other side of the aisle, Democrats, I look at the other side and I just think it seems to me now like it's going to be Bernie, good or bad. It seems like Bernie is the guy that is the one that that's my impression. And it seems like he has reignited his sort of fire from 2016 in a way that I didn't really expect. Because I think last time we talked, actually, I think we both agreed that the only way they can lose, the Democrats, is if they push a hard, clear, far-left socialism kind of thing. I don't know if I think that anymore. I think that Bernie might have the best chance of everybody on the other side because he has that cult following potential that you were talking about earlier with Trump. And I want to hear what you think about this one thing that I can't stop thinking about, which is that the way I'm worried that the way Trump might have really changed it ultimately for the foreseeable future, regardless of whether he's involved, is this cult of personality thing that I see as potentially just kind of becoming the thing. And whether the politics matter or not, I don't even know if him being a socialist, whatever, even matters as much as does he have that cult of personality. And I don't know.
It's an interesting thought, man. I can tell you this, and everybody listening to us right now, from a Republican's perspective, if somebody like Joe Biden is the Democrat nominee, what I know for a fact is a huge amount of Republicans are going to vote for him. If somebody like Bernie is the nominee, that ain't happening.
Right.
So and I'm not saying Bernie can't win
in general.
But the only way Bernie can win is if all of those left-wing constituencies, young people and people of color and all of them, they better come out in droves.
Yeah.
Bernie's turnout on the left better be huge, because Republicans will vote for Biden. They're not going to vote for Bernie.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, actually. I wonder, when I think about socialism and the stigma around it, definitely when I was young too, there was this thing about socialism and obviously communism, still about communism.
Yeah.
But now socialism, I do wonder the word. I don't know if it's this like, because think about it. I'm thinking about it and I was thinking about, okay, when Trump was elected, the first time voter, if you're 18 in 2020, you were 14 when Trump got elected.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if socialism even has that ring to it to young people anymore, where they have this, like, they're repelled by it. I actually don't know. And I'm wondering
they're not, right?
Matt,
your instinct is right. All the polling data right now shows us that it's generational. For people my age in the 50s and above, socialism is still viewed negatively.
Right.
But people under 50, majorities of millennials and younger people, high school and college students, look more favorably upon the term socialism than capitalism. I mean, we don't know exactly what they necessarily mean when they say socialism.
Right.
But it is definitely not a negative for young people.
What do we think is the root? Like, what is that just like a distance from history, from socialism being a sort of synonymous with this nefarious enemy, I guess, power? You know what I mean? Like, I'm wondering why that has sort of the harshness of the term has dissolved. Yeah.
I think it's a lack of appreciation or understanding of what socialism and communism is and has done. But I also think among young Americans, they feel like capitalism isn't delivering. When it comes to healthcare and their jobs and wages, they're seeing, again, in their view, I disagree with it, but they're seeing capitalism, you know, let a lot of people down. And so the notion of free college and Medicare for all appeals to a lot of young people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I get it. Yeah. It is interesting to think about the turn happening not because it's specifically an embrace of socialism, but it's more a disillusionment with capitalism.
Yes.
And at least a very strong entity, in this case, Bernie, putting forth this alternative, you know. It is interesting though, just in the last like 15 years, the word has come to not really have any negative connotation. It also seems to have split a little from, I feel like socialism and communism were kind of lumped together in a way.
Right.
And now
right.
there seems to be this vast separation in people's minds about what one is and what the other one is. But look,
Matt, this is why it's so important to have a real Republican Party. Because I appreciate the hell out of Bernie.
Uh-huh.
Because even though I disagree with him, he's genuine in his beliefs. And really, what's he arguing for? He's arguing for a bigger, more active government to do a lot more.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. And I think young people want that.
Yeah.
But we need another. I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
I'm a conservative because I want to make the case that freedom is better than big government. And right now, we don't have a party making that case. And it's a shame.
How, I mean, what are the core ways you would say that Trump has sort of distorted that? Because I look at him and I think, wait, where's the Republican? Like, where's the guy that ran as a, who's the Republican inside that person? You know, I mean, his appointees, you could argue, obviously, they're on one side of the spectrum pretty far, but him himself, I'm not.
He's got no, Donald Trump has never had a core set of beliefs. He doesn't believe in anything. Raise taxes, cut taxes, secure the border, not, it doesn't, pro-life, pro-choice, pro-gun, anti-gun. Donald Trump is nothing. All Donald Trump was, and the reason he won in 16 was, he was a punch in the face for, you know, 46% of Americans who were sick of CNN and all the elites in Washington. That's all he was. Yeah. He was a reactionary punch in the face to that. It wasn't issues based at all.
And the things that got him elected, let's say that, you know, there's the immigration thing and there's a few key things that got him elected. Are those going to be the things that get him, let's say he does win re-election, are those even the things that are going to put him back in office, or is it now just this full on culture war thing? Because that's what I just get the culture war thing, and it's like, you know, if you're on my side, then it doesn't really matter what he's do. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's purely just a social issue.
He's going to try, you know, like a Hollywood thing. He's going to try to recreate an effective sequel. Right. You know, like build Mexico's going to pay for the wall. Number two, he's going to try that song and dance again. But I think you're right, Matt. It's not issues. It's just you're on my team and you're on my tribe. Those people on the other team and tribe are bad. They're bad. We're good. That's all he's got. And I think that's all he's going to use. I think whoever the Democrat nominee is got to be a hell of a lot smarter in bringing together. Remember, Trump only won by like 70,000 votes in three states.
That's mind-boggling,
Find a candidate. I mean, it is. Find a candidate who can get those 70,000 votes in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Donald Trump is toast.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of you on Mar, with Andrew Yang, feel like, look, I don't think it's possible that he's going to win. I do think that if he won the nomination, he would absolutely crush Donald Trump. I truly believe that. I just don't think he has an avenue to winning the nomination because. But I do think that the thing that he talks about, which is that you need to focus on the things that got Trump elected. And you need to speak directly to the people that voted for him for those reasons. And I think the further the Democrats get from that, the more likely it is that they actually do fumble this, you know? Because I think there's
don't speak down or bad about the people who voted for Trump. Separate Trump from the people who voted for him.
Right. You know, I think that's my, in terms of like my evolution of thought on that in particular. I think one of the things that I've probably changed the most on in this arena is I remember thinking, how the fuck could someone vote for that guy? But now I don't think that at all. Now I actually feel like I totally get why someone would vote for him. I just, the idea that it could happen, that someone could vote for him and then take 4 years of this, unless they're in his cult, I just don't see how you can do that again.
But you nailed it, unless they're in his cult. And yeah, clearly there are bad people. There are some bad people, some racists and some bigots who support Donald Trump. You got bad people on both sides. You got nuts on both sides. But the vast majority of the people who voted for Donald Trump, the majority, are good, decent people who a demagogue took advantage of.
Yeah. Fuck, you know what I just thought of? I just thought of that. Remember that Stephanopoulos special he did with Trump when he was talking?
Yeah.
Specifically, Trump specifically said, why wouldn't I take information from another? That's literally exactly what he's being impeached for.
Yes.
And
again, there's a pattern here, right?
Yeah.
In 16, he welcomed Russia screwing in our elections. He told Stephanopoulos, hell yeah, I'd take dirt from a foreign government. And then that's what he did. He put the screws on Ukraine to help him cheat in the 2020 election. It's obvious.
Yeah. We circled this a little bit just before, but the politics of a candidate even actually matter? Not ever anymore, period, moving forward, but specifically right now, is that something that is going to matter in 2020? Because to me, it really just feels like it's just going to be about who emotionally sweeps, you know, us up into his thing, you know, because I don't, if it's say it's Bernie against Trump, the vastness of the difference in the message of the candidates is so vast, but there will be people, independent voters, who are oscillating and deciding at last minute about who they're going to vote for. And it's concerning to me in the sense of, I don't know how much it matters what the candidate is really saying anymore. And I'm worried that what does matter is just like purely the vibe of the candidate, the persona of the candidate, and how well they go on TV, and how much their message is sort of tied into their persona as well. You know,
I think your gut is right. Issues matter less. Trump is like the personification of that. And look, I would argue that our politics has become all about celebrity.
Yeah.
I would argue that Obama was a lot of that.
I agree.
Was a celebrity.
Yeah.
Obama had no experience before he became president. But Trump took that on steroids.
Yes. Yeah.
So you combine that, Matt, with the fact that it's like we all want to F and be part of whatever tribe we're on now. It's my tribe, my tribe, my tribe. And I don't care if my people are bad people. I got to beat the other tribe. We're so tribal now.
Yeah.
That issues don't matter as much. I don't care what Trump does. I'm on his team.
Yeah.
That kind of bull.
Yeah. Tell me your book. You wrote a book. Wait, when does your book come out?
I wrote a book, man. It's coming out on February 18th. You've got to buy it, man. Pre-order. Go to, you can go on Amazon right now and pre-order it. Here's the title, Matt.
Yes.
It's called Fuck Silence.
I like the title.
calling Trump out for the cultish, moronic, authoritarian con man that he is. And Matt, the whole point of the book is, and I'm a conservative, but the whole point of the book is I would rather have a socialist in the White House than a dictator. Mm. This guy is who our founding fathers feared. And it's time for Republicans and conservatives not to be silent anymore. We got to call out Trump for who he is.
Yeah. I mean, that is a bold stance. I love it, as you know, but I'm curious as to like what I know you talk to a lot of Republicans on the inside privately sometimes, but what are they saying to you about what you're doing? Like what the people who are like pussyfooting around, like, I hate him, but I can't talk about it. When you talk to them, I know what they're saying about what is up with them, but what are they saying what's up with you? Like what is their take on what you are doing and what have been doing?
A minority are privately cheering me,
right,
but most are disappointed. They wish that I hadn't challenged him. They wish that I would have just stayed quiet and let Trump lose all by himself in November, and then we can all hold hands and be buddies again. So most of them are disappointed that I'm doing this.
But that seems so weak that I don't –
Well, it exposes them.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
Fuck silence. That's the name of the book. Mm-hmm. Come on, Marco Rubio and Rand Paul and all of you. It's time to speak out. And they don't want somebody out there speaking out about things that they believe in.
Right. God, Marco Rubio. When he comes up, my brain does this. Like it's just like it's like I'm getting shut, like zapped in my brain. For some reason, I think of him as just like the epitome of the bulldozed, weak Republican, you know, where it's like he at first
or
would.
Even Matt, Ted Cruz. Yeah. Think of the horrible things that Donald Trump said only 3 years ago about Cruz and his wife. I mean, horrible things.
Yeah.
And now Cruz is one of Trump's biggest cheerleaders? What is that?
It's very, very strange. And the demagogue thing, it's interesting. I feel like just generally growing up in America, we learn a lot about fascist dictators, but we don't learn, yes, a lot about socialist and communist dictators. I'm reading this Stalin biography. It's this epic, long thing. And obviously, the politics are not in line with him, but there is shit that he did and that basically every figure like this does, yes, to silence opposition, to bulldoze opponents, and to bend those who did oppose him into being full-throated supporters. And it's wild to me, almost. I wouldn't say it's easy, but when it happens, it seems so fucking simple. Like he just blew him over or something, you know?
And they lie. That's a big part of what I get into in the book. All good dictators and demagogues and authoritarians, they lie and they create a cult of personality around them that insulates them. And Trump's done that magnificently.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fucking good at it. I wonder if he's being smart or if he's just this kind of demonic thing that is naturally like good at that. You know what I mean? Like, because he is good at that. Like, there's no doubt about the fact that he's good at being like these shitty dictators. You know what I mean? Like,
again, to your credit and my credit and most everybody listening to us right now, we have shame. If we did something bad or something ugly, something embarrassed us, we'd feel it. Donald, I've never seen a human being like this. Donald Trump has no shame.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing makes him feel bad. He apologizes for nothing. He's embarrassed by nothing he says or does. That's dangerous, because then that kind of person can do anything.
God, that's so true. I just imagine having imagining acting like him for a day and how fucking shitty I'd feel afterwards. Like, you're right. There's no, it's almost like,
and he doesn't. You'd want to kill yourself if you were Trump for a day.
Yeah.
He feels no shame at all.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing he doesn't, I don't think I've ever seen him laugh ever. Like
a great point, Matt.
He doesn't laugh. That is.
Yeah, He doesn't laugh because, again, he's not capable of like caring about anything outside of him. It's all him.
Yeah.
And he hates dogs. I don't know about you, Matt, but I love dogs. I got three of them. Donald Trump can't stand dogs. He's one of the first presidents we've had in ages who doesn't have a dog. If you don't like dogs, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, I mean, I could not agree more. It's so funny that it's like he's just vertically all of the things that are telltale signs of a fucking maniac. He has them all in spades, and he's president.
Yes. And that's why I did this, because it's not about policies. If I just disagreed with Trump on some policies, big deal. I wouldn't have put myself through this, because I'm getting threats every day. I mean, this is a horrible thing that I'm doing. It's difficult. This is about, you're reading about Stalin. To me, this is like America's version of something like that.
Yeah, it is.
This is scary shit.
It's weird to be in the middle of it while it's happening. Because when you think of this kind of shit historically, you look back and, I mean, just reading about Stalin, you think they cover the big events and the big moments and the big tide, the shifting tides, but they don't cover the day-to-day weird slog that over time it just starts to change, and suddenly you look back and you think, wait, what happened, how is this person who has every single telltale sign of a sociopath, how is he gathered so much steam and power, and how has he risen so high? It's on the day to day, it's not really framed that way in our minds. But when I really do stop and think about it, it's like, what the fuck? What did happen? You know, like, where did this come from? And I know the issues, and I know the things that were happening that allowed a figure like that to come forward. But it still is a trip to just look at him, listen to him, the whole vibe, the things he says, and think that is the president. And that person's been president for 3 years? Like, holy shit. And he might be president for four more.
And he could very easily get reelected. And that's why, again, I know that Bernie or Biden or Warren isn't going to take any advice from a Joe Walsh. But to me, the way you just framed it, Matt, it's got to be that kind of a conversation with the American people.
I agree.
I would make 2020 should be all just period about Trump.
Yeah.
And my God, wake up. I mean, if you want this, you want this. But this is who he is. America, do you want four more years of this person? It's got to be all about Trump.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Hey, Matt, be thankful. We do not live in dull times, brother. We're living in interesting times.
It's true. I mean, do you think about, I mean, you must. I mean, you have a long view of history, American history. You know, I mean, what is this?
Well, look, you and I talked about this, Matt. I think the last time we talked, and I was honest with you in that when, as you take a long view, I think the country, America, that you and I both love, I think it's almost like too big, and I think it's breaking up at the seams. I really do.
Yeah.
And I think that we talk about people who live out in L.A. and people who live in the middle of Nebraska or San Fran or Indiana. I worry that we no longer have the essentials in common.
Yeah.
I'm worried about this country being able to stay together.
And what, yeah, I mean, I completely share that. What is, if you were to say, like, if you, what is this period going to be when we look back on it? You know, like, what are we going through? If you had to guess, like, what is the way this specific moment politically will be viewed historically? Because
I've called it on the radio the last 5 or 6 years. I think we're living at the onset of like a third American Revolution, and I call the Civil War the second American Revolution. I think we are in a revolutionary period where the country, and I think it's going to go on for a while, is either going to eventually break up, or somehow we're going to miraculously stay together. But I think we're going through that revolutionary period right now. And look, Trump's just a byproduct.
Right.
I think we're into this. This will last longer than your and my lifetimes on this earth.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this since the last election, but I mean, it's always kind of been around in my head. It seems time that an actual third party should be a viable possibility, you know, because I think you talk about exhaustion. I think one of the things people are extremely, extremely exhausted by are these two choices that we have every four years. And people don't like either fucking party. Nobody
both
likes either
suck.
Party.
That helped get Trump elected, by the way.
Totally.
Both parties suck.
Totally, because he was this outsider. He had the Republican label because he won the primaries, but he wasn't
as
a fucking
was
Republican.
Bernie, too.
Yeah, right. And that, I would think, is probably a big part of his appeal, because there are voters out there who are just like, I don't give a shit. Do it different. I don't care how the way that it's different. You seem like someone who might know you, as in Bernie. Yeah. You know Trump. If there's an alternative vision, I guess maybe I'll give you my vote, because whatever the fuck's going on now is not working. So where's the viability of a third party? To me, that seems like extremely viable, but what is stopping it?
I'll tell you what's stopping it. The two parties.
Right.
And most Americans don't realize this. The two parties over the course of the last 70 years have made it almost impossible through peaceful means for a third or fourth party to become viable. They've rigged the game in each and every state. It's almost impossible. So, but there is a hunger for a third or fourth party. So my thinking, Matt, is for it to happen, it's going to have to be ugly.
Yeah.
Because it can't happen really peacefully because the game's been rigged. So, but you could see it happen in the next 5 to 10 years.
It just seems like the most natural evolution of the moment right now, because everybody, I mean, I think the one thing that everybody kind of, the tenor of the conversation right now to me feels like everyone on any stage, on the Democratic stage, definitely Trump and the parties in general, everyone's so not into any of it, you know? And as you talked yeah. about earlier, the main drive on the left right now is to get Trump out. It's not about putting forth shit on the left, policies that are right. typically Democratic or of the left. It's really yeah. get that guy out. It has nothing to do with party anything. It's just we don't like him, and that's valid. I feel the same way. I fucking hate him. But and I can relate to that. But underneath that, it really is the my values that I don't like what he's doing in office. I do agree with you that anyone who's like that, if Trump was a Democrat doing Democratic things that Democrats loved, I'd still want his ass out because he fucking scares me.
It's like he is. He's a criminal.
Right. Yeah.
He lives above the law. He's a criminal. So it is a state of emergency. I feel bad for the Democrats because they would like to be talking about these issues. But it's like we have a criminal in the White House right now. That's got to be taken care of first.
It's true. And there's so much other shit to do. And
yeah.
he's just an energy suck. All of the fucking attention goes to him. It's fucking crazy.
Yes.
And in the news, I want to talk about the news a little bit because
yeah.
it's as if, look, if the media really is anti-Trump, if the media is actually really in this collected, concerted effort to try to make Trump lose, they're doing it wrong and should know, because all they're ever doing is putting his name at the very top of every fucking website and it's still the world's greatest PR. It doesn't matter if they're talking shit about him every time he's in the news.
Yeah.
It's only about him. And I worry that it's going to almost be difficult to imagine what the country would look like without him as the head of it, because every fucking news story is about him. And if he's gone, it's almost like, well, then what are we going to have to? We're going to actually have to talk about real issues. It's almost like him becoming the circus show attraction becomes the appeal of him, because he's a way to ignore other shit that's harder to solve, that we really do need to be talking about.
And he's good for business. Let's be honest, CNN, Fox, and MSNBC. He's good for business.
And that's all it is, right? The people are going to click on it. Yeah. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
To me, it's just like, it's indicative of the system just entirely being broken top to bottom, because they don't want him to win is the narrative. And I think that's probably true. I think the media does hate him, but they still just care about the fucking advertising and the clicks.
Well, and again, let's be real. He is the most powerful person in the world. And when he talks or tweets or does something,
yeah.
it has to be covered.
It's true.
He's got the loudest megaphone in the world and he takes advantage of it. I just wish they would report on him, like, honestly, and call out his lies more objectively. They just don't.
What do you think that is? I mean, do you think there's a I look at that and I think it seems like a response, a fear response to the way Trump treats them. It's like they feel like, well, I have to be fair because I'm being called unfair. And there's this weird, well, it's almost like they, why do you think they don't do that? They don't call him out for that shit.
Because every politician lies sometimes, and every politician fudges and embellishes and exaggerates. And the media generally has a hard time with politicians saying that it's a lie. They'd rather say, oh, he exaggerated here, that was a false statement.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to deal with this guy because, Donald Trump will just openly and publicly lie.
Mm-hmm.
And the media has a very hard time using that word because they haven't used it with other politicians. But we've never had a politician like this who will unabashedly just lie. They don't know how to deal with him. Even after 3 years, they still don't.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, they're dealing with him the exact same way they dealt with him leading up to the election, which is just everything he does, the sensational shit, cover that. And that's,
and he's, and look, he knows they're weak, and he knows they're vulnerable, and he takes advantage of them, just like he knows his fellow Republicans are weak and he can get away with whatever he wants. And so he takes advantage of that.
I know this is impossible to figure out because thankfully we're not inside his mind, but do you think he knows he's lying, or do you think he's just a straight up crazy guy and not really thinking even deeply enough to know that he's telling lies?
I think because he's been doing it, Matt, his whole life, and again, it's in my book, he's literally lived a con. He's a con man. Mm-hmm. I think at this point, he's 72 or 3 years old. I think in his head, he's just nuts now, and he doesn't know things he does or says anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but it's a fucking trip. I mean, it's easy to get used to it, but when you sort of like knock yourself out of this being used to it and really just watch him as if you hadn't seen him before, it's a fucking trip, man. You know.
Well, and when every day there's 100 examples of him, of his corruption and his bullshit every day. Again, we all just get tired of it because there are 100 examples every day. So if he had a strategy, and I don't think he's smart enough to strategize, that would be a strategy. Just throw 100 pieces of shit against the wall every day, and Americans will just become confused.
Yeah, yeah. So what? You're out there. Are you in Iowa right now?
I'm in Iowa right now, baby. We'll be here through the caucuses on the 3rd.
So when you're out there, what, I mean, I see it, but what's the message you're getting across? Like, what is it just purely the principle, we can't have this fucking guy doing this anymore? Or is there more nuance in there?
I led with that. So uh-huh. When I announced 5 months ago, I led with, he's unfit, he's a danger to the country. And it's evolved into, because of that, nothing's going to get done. So I hear from voters that, you know, healthcare and immigration and infrastructure and all these other issues. My answer is, I'm sorry, guys, here's the deal. I know you like, because remember, I'm talking to Republicans.
Right.
I know you like some of the things he's done, but ain't nothing going to get done for 4 years because it's the Donald Trump show. So that issue is the issue that resonates with Republicans who go to bed every night thinking, the Democrats scare the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. I don't like Donald Trump. I like some of the things he's done. But man, do I want to go through 4 more years of this? I'm tired.
Right.
And so along comes Joe Walsh. I'm a conservative. I just won't give you all the bullshit. I'll try to give you good conservative policies.
Right. And in Iowa, these early states that you're in, in terms of like the actual voter on the ground, are they buying the Trump line about, are they seeing what you're doing as sort of this you know what I'm saying?
And Matt, the way I answer is this: if I had Michael Bloomberg's money, I'd be beating Donald Trump right now. Because most Republicans, once they hear me and they say, oh, that Joe Walsh, oh, he's a cool dude. He's basically pretty conservative, but he's not going to be a psycho like Trump. I can turn Republicans 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 at a time.
Right.
The problem is, you know, I'm running a grassroots guerrilla campaign. I don't have Mike Bloomberg's money. And so it's just a matter of getting in front of enough people is my problem.
Yeah, and I mean, that circles back to one of the first things we were just talking about, which is that the primaries have been they're canceled, and that is not even a possibility anymore. That actually reminds
me. So the party has rallied around their king to protect their king, and I didn't anticipate that would happen. I had no clue that like 10 states would just say, we're not going to have elections next year. I didn't see that coming.
I find it odd that, because one of the main talking points of his is that his support among Republicans is so high. But if there was
that's bullshit.
Right.
That's
if there bullshit. Was truth to that and they believed that, then they wouldn't give a fuck what you were doing.
Right.
They wouldn't care. Right.
So they know that's a great, great, great point, Matt. The party knows that those polls are bullshit, which is why they're canceling elections to protect him. in all those polls that say 80 to 90% of Republicans support Trump, you're talking about self-identified Republicans. It doesn't measure people. So many people have left the Republican Party. So there are a lot of Republicans who those polls don't take into consideration.
Right. All right. So let's talk some fucking future. Let's talk like predictions, what we naively believe will actually happen, because I listened a little bit to our first episode.
Right.
And it was like already so much of the shit. I've like changed my mind on shit. Then it's just like, yeah. It's hard. It's funny to like look back even just a half a year ago and think about how fucking different everything was. But yeah. I mean, the impeachment's going on right now. I'm sure you think, or what do you think? I mean, what do you think is going to be the result of that? I don't want to assume.
I like to sound like I'm hopeful, but no, I think McConnell and the Republicans will squash it, and it'll be done in pretty short order. It'll be a sham trial,
right? And coming out of that, because I mean, I think what some of the fear for Democrats was, well, when they tried to do this to Clinton, it actually helped him. So because he came out sort of looking like a fighter or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Different. This is the reason this is different is when Bill Clinton was impeached, when Bill Clinton was impeached, Matt, his approval rating was 73%.
Just across the board nationally?
Across the board.
Whoa, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. He was one of our most popular presidents. So the Republicans impeaching him, they look bad. Donald Trump's, he's the least popular president in modern times. And as you and I talked about before, the lines are already drawn. So this is not going to hurt Democrats. I think it's going to hurt Republicans, because most Americans know that they know what a fair trial it is. Mm. So I think this is going to bite them in the ass.
Specifically, the making it a bullshit trial, you think is going to be the thing that fucks them the most. I got you.
Yeah. That's the one thing that most objective Americans in the middle are going to say stinks.
Yeah, that's true. It seems like a very big risk for that reason.
Totally. Totally.
If they just, I actually think if they were like, if their attitude was more, yeah, whatever, let it bring him on, and they, even if they still knew we're all going to vote against this shit and let him off. I feel like it's smarter to just let it seem like a fair trial that everyone was kind of generally pleased with, and then just let him off, because then it looks like he got hurt. They had their day in court, and he won.
Well, then
won.
You got to call, but Matt, then you got to call witnesses.
Right.
You can't have a fair trial. And so if you yank John Bolton in, or Mick Mulvaney, who I know, by the way,
yeah.
You know what they're going to say. They're going to say exactly what Trump did, and it's and what Trump did is bad and wrong. So they can't pull those guys in.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that alone is so fucked up, actually, because that's just basically admitting that they're covering up guilt for their own – I don't even know, actually. I mean, the thing that I get confused about is that I'm assuming some of, at least enough of those senators would rather have exist in their life without Trump as the fucking president, you know?
Most of them. Yeah.
And so the thing that they do want is to have him out, and yet they're doing this thing to shield him from any potential possibility of getting kicked out.
Well, they're in a tough spot. I mean, and again, I wouldn't care. I would just do what I believe, but I'm a weird duck, and maybe that's why I'm not real good at politics. But they're in a tough spot.
Yeah.
Because if they do say, you know what, I took an oath. I demanded we have a fair trial. We need to hear from John Bolton and Mick Mulvaney. If they do that, go back. They're going to piss off Trump's voters, and they're going to piss off Trump.
And so what on the other side of the aisle, I watch the debates, and I actually, I'll be honest, I have to turn them off pretty quickly, because something about it feels fucking wrong. But I'm trying to chalk it up to like, well, it's still early. Maybe that's just own anxiety. But what do you think? Because I know that you believe Trump's going to lose. What do you think the Democrats have to make sure they don't do to make sure that that happens? Like, what are the things, what are the guardrails for them? Like, what are the things that if they do them, they're in trouble, you know, because I feel like there's a version of events where they stay in just a broad enough lane, and it's sort of like, we need to get this guy out of here, and this sort of like vague leftist ideas. Like, what do they need to not do?
I think what they should not do if they want to win, is nominate somebody who will only talk about crazy radical leftist ideas. Mm. Now, if you nominate a guy like Bernie, and that's where his head and heart is, if Bernie can combine his leftist ideas with a real attack on Trump as a danger to this country, then I think Bernie can win.
Right.
But Bernie's got to get his people out. But if all the Democrats put forward is free college, free health care for everybody, free, 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 all of this shit, if that's all they do, that's Trump's only shot to win.
Yeah.
And he's licking his chops, Matt, at that.
Yeah, he definitely
is. Licking his chops. Oh, totally.
I mean, that's definitely
because he knows that's the only way he wins.
Right. I mean, it's easy to picture what he will do if, say, the nominee is Bernie. Because he's just going to...
And by the way, Matt, and you kind of like Bernie, right? I respect Bernie.
I like Bernie. My feeling about Bernie is that I think he is the strongest in the cultish thing. That whole thing, I think, is his lane. And that is what might propel him to be able to win. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's something on Bernie, though. If Bernie's not the nominee, if he doesn't become a big, enthusiastic team player and get around whoever the nominee is, because he, and I get it, he didn't like Hillary, but he didn't do that in 16.
Right.
I tell you what, you got all these Bernie bros out there, Matt. If they sit this one out again, Trump's going to win.
Yeah. I mean, that is one lesson I fucking hope Bernie learned, because I don't know.
Hope so.
It took him forever to come around on that, and then it was even still tepid, but it's like, I don't think he understood, as many didn't, the real actual viability of Donald Trump as a candidate in many normal Americans' minds. I still think, I look back on that time as a time where even every Democrat from Bernie to Hillary and everyone in between just thought there was no way Trump was going to win.
This guy can win. Yeah.
You know,
but and you're right. So you fool me once, right? Democrats should not be fooled again, because now they know he can win. And Bernie had better be a big, enthusiastic team player.
Yeah,
that's all I can say. If he's not the nominee,
But you're right. I mean, the Trump is salivating at the opportunity to just nonstop call Bernie a communist and lump him together with Castro, whoever the fuck else. You know,
absolutely.
And that'll be annoying as hell. But yeah, I mean, it's right there on a platform, and I do agree that I think that that's what he wants more than anything else, you know. I think it'd be harder for him to run against someone like Buttigieg, actually, because it's like you can't really do that to him, you know.
Yeah.
You can't align him with the socialist thing.
We're
coming up in an hour. What else? Is there anything else you want to talk about, get into before we hop off here?
You covered it. My website is joewalsh.org, joewalsh.org. I'm out there just trying to pound on Trump every day to do my part to try to weaken him and make sure he didn't win in November. I always like being on with you, Matt. It's good stuff.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have you back again before the actual election. But likewise, I love talking to you, and I'll be listening and watching you on the trail. And best of luck to you, man. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, brother. I'll stay in touch. Thanks,
okay,
man.
Cool. Thanks, Joe.